Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Therapy Online. If you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/morningstream today to get 10% off your first month.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Kerwin Fajardo, Dylan Sainsbury, and Doug Weedor. Coming up on TMS, one step closer to Parasite.
Tick, tick, boom, boom.
Heimlicher, not the Heimlicky.
Mario ass Mario business.
Making music in my Sue studio.
Keto people talk macros.
One pump chump.
The goodest dude.
You got rap in my musical.
Foot and two chat ponds.
Pumpkin spice chai drink in the fall. So unique.
That new burger smell.
I picked up Spider-Man, not that heavy.
The blankening.
Ask your doctor if Hamilton is right for you.
Board games with hockey-loving bastard Dan and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hello, I'm John Waters, and I'm supposed to announce there is no smoking in this theater, which I think is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard of in my life.
Hello. Hello.
The Morning Stream. Sometimes I can and sometimes I can't. Who gives a damn?
Good morning. Welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Tuesday, October 24th, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Ooh, Brian, I'm back. I'm here. Yeah, go ahead.
I do like the when people take songs and they have repeating, just basically repeat the same lyric, like they use tools to extract the vocals. Mm-hmm. And there was a Smash Mouth that just went, somebody once told me, somebody once told me, somebody once told me.
Yeah, it's a great use of technology, I think. You know,
it is. I think so. Yeah. So yeah. If you're going to use it for good, just like that.
I agree. It's great power, responsibility, all that stuff. Oh, did you pick up Spider-Man or no? What'd you end up doing?
I did. I've been loving it.
Yeah.
When I get a chance to play it, I've been loving it.
I need to grab that still.
Yeah.
I was on the fence all weekend because I was like, oh, do I want that or Mario? I don't know. I only have time for one, and then I didn't pick either, and then I played something else. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I play a little Mario as well, and it is just your straight up good Mario game. Like it's something that we haven't had. Jeez, since what was the last one? New Super Mario Brothers?
Yeah, the one that's on the Switch is a port of the Wii U game anyway, so even that was sort of already a known quantity before we got it. So I think the last 2.5D Mario that we got, mm-hmm, would have been that, and it was on the, mm-hmm, Wii U that we got it.
Yeah,
and the last 3D proper Mario was Odyssey, and it's been years now. That was like 2017, 2018. Jeez.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's time. It's time for, you know, the old plumber to get his ass out there and get some shit done.
Exactly. Yeah, we had whatever it was on mobile, too, the app.
Oh, that dumb thing. I hated that game. Yeah. I know that's for some people. I couldn't do it. I mean, it's not even like the gameplay is not even a problem. I just am like, well, this isn't how you play Mario. You don't just auto-run.
No, exactly. Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's Temple Run with Mario, basically.
Yeah, not my favorite thing in the world. But hey, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to talk about one of Brian's recommendations that I finally saw.
Yeah.
I saw Tick, Tick, Boom last night, or yesterday.
Yeah, and, cool.
That movie is great. It's a little different than I expected, although I don't know why I expected different. It's about a legendary life cut short.
Jonathan Larson.
Larson, yeah.
I believe.
Yeah. Who created Rent.
Rent.
Yeah, and I guess this Tick, Tick, Boom is also a play.
Mm-hmm. More autobiographical, but not fully autobiographical.
No, it's got its... it's got its what do you call it? It's
an adaptation. I mean, I'm trying to think of the right word because it wasn't like he was hiding anything. He's like, all right, I'm going to take some stuff from my life and put it into this, but not make it fully autobiographical.
Yeah, and it's Andrew Garfield, and you know we talked about it on the recommendals where you recommended it, but it's very good. And I don't know why, but in my head, I had dropped out the piece of information that was that Lin-Manuel Miranda directed it. I didn't know that, but that's the perfect guy to have do it because this dude's, you know, he's basically a modern day version of these people, him and Sondheim and all these other guys.
What a great combination too, like Hamilton and Rent, Rentleton, mm-hmm. Hamilrent,
Hamiltent. Hamilton. My Hamilton is too high. But yeah,
ask your doctor if Hamilton is right for you.
It's great. He was robbed of any. He should have gotten an Oscar.
Right? I mean, how blown away by it? Like, oh my God, he can sing and he sounds this good.
He was really good, and it was an amazing. All of it. It was just an incredible performance for him. And I'm used to him being a little more subdued. Yeah. And this was just a whole different view of him. It was really good. But I realized about 10 minutes into this thing that my wife would not like it. So I tested it because she hates show tunes. She hates musicals.
Oh, really? Musicals. Not a musical person.
Doesn't like that stuff. Although she did like Hamilton. So I thought, well, there's a chance.
Oh.
And I don't know what the difference was. I think because Hamilton had, you know how it just kind of smashed genres. It was like there's rap in this thing and there's like.
Yeah.
You know, it's and they've taken it all from this black perspective, and it's just a different enough thing that I think that appealed to her. But this, usually, it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of a you know, Phantom of the Opera, you know, like that kind of
it's
shit.
A little
she's
bit more operatic, a little bit more.
Yeah, she doesn't like that stuff. So pulled her in real quick on this one, and
yeah, then pulled her out.
Yeah, and she heard. She got to the part where it was an early song. Trying to remember which performance it was, but it was an early thing where they were all singing, and she went, "Yeah, I can't do this." She walked.
Well, is it the one when they're all singing in the apartment, or the one where they're all singing in the diner? Or
I think
the one
it was the party in the apartment. I think that was it.
Oh, see, I love that because that's the 3090, and that's such a that of all the songs from the soundtrack, that's the one that I actually listened to more than listening to the full soundtrack.
Yeah, it's really good. It's great. Yeah. I mean, but it is definitely
jam.
No, it's just definitely square. It's squarely aimed at that. It's that
if you like Rent kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, there's a very specific sound to it, which is this guy, right? I mean, he's the dude, and he died tragically of an aneurysm at 35. It's like too young. Yeah. Ridiculous. Just as things were about to explode for him, too. It's like what, 96 or something this happened. I really liked it. So double recommendation now after a year of not seeing it. Who knows? Look, you guys, this is one step closer to Parasite. That's how you have to look at this.
All right. Is it though? It's closer only in the way that if we're looking at a giant list of every movie ever created, anytime you cross one off that list, we get one closer to Parasite.
Yeah. I mean, one of your recommendations closer, right? Because you recommended Parasite. Yeah. You recommended this. This is one more down. I've yet to be super let down by a Brian recommendation. They've all been great.
Good.
I have no doubt that I'll get to Parasite and go, oh, this was as good as he said. I'm so glad I finally saw it. But there's also
I hope so because I worry that it's going to be a little bit of a letdown. Like it's going to be, all right, Brian, it was okay.
Well, it's not so much that we're at the stage that it's overhyped, because I don't feel like you've overhyped it. All you've done is say, oh, you should see it. It's good.
Yeah.
And all I've done is say, I haven't seen it yet. Right? So it's like, there's not like, it's not like every day we're going, oh, that movie. Oh, blah, blah, blah. It's not like that. So yeah, I think you're safe. I think I'm in it. I have full confidence that I'll watch it, and the quality of it will wash over me.
The joy will wash over you. Let's hope. I'm hoping.
Like a nice warm bath, you know, it'll be fine. Yes. So who knows when we'll get there. But anyway, that's my big verdict on Tick, Tick, Boom, Boom, or Tick, Tick, Boom. There's no double booms, just tick, tick, only
just
one tick, boom.
Just one boom, yeah.
It's a bomb reference. You'll get it when you watch the movie. And it's very good. Really, really good. Highly, highly recommend. Also, I think Miranda ought to direct some more stuff. I think he's got chops for it.
I agree. Did you ever see his, the West Side Story remake from a couple of years ago?
No, the Spielberg one. Still haven't seen. I saw part of it on the ship, on the cruise.
Okay.
And then Kim got really motion sick while trying to watch it, so we didn't, because it was really choppy that night, so we didn't finish it. But I saw bits of it that I fully intended to watch. So he's all up in that. Is he involved in that?
He's involved in it. What's the deal? He like co-wrote a couple of the new songs. Is that the deal? What was the deal? Oh no, you know what I'm thinking of is In the Heights. It wasn't West Side Story. It was In the Heights. All the stuff from West Side Story was in the original. I thought they had a new song or two, but In the Heights is like the newest Lin-Manuel thing besides Tick, Tick, Boom.
Which sounds Rent-ish a little bit.
It's a little bit. It's basically, it's like kind of square in between Tick, Tick, Boom and Rent and Hamilton, like right in the middle of it. Way more rap though. So if you like the rap, then if Kim likes the rap, she might like In the Heights more than she liked Tick, Tick, Boom.
I should say the only other besides Hamilton, the only other musical she really enjoyed was Moulin Rouge. She really liked.
Oh really? Okay. But what about Little Shop of Horrors? What does she think about
I don't
that?
Think she's seen it. But okay. Remember, neither have I. So I've just never gotten around. We got to film sack that shit. But what was I going to say about that? And I think
lend you the vinyl if you like.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, we got the vinyl there. You could swap that out for one of your weekly vinyl displays.
I could. Right now it's Phil Collins. Hello, I Must Be Going.
Let's swap it
out with Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah. I worry about him. I'm worried about him. He's older. He's looking frail. I'm worried about Phil Collins, everybody. I can feel it in the air tonight.
You know, he's so old, he's an easy lover. So.
Well, I hope he keeps making music in his studio. Terrible, terrible.
I see what you did there.
Anyway, I think the common thread here is Kim likes stuff with like different takes of music. She doesn't like the traditional stuff, but she's into
not all. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, if it's show tune-y, she's kind of out. But if it's like, oh, they took an old Elton John song and mashed it up with this other popular thing, and there's a little bit of Nirvana, and like, you know, Moulin Rouge just pushed all the buttons for her. So
yeah, and TV's Travis makes a very good point. Moulin Rouge isn't show tunes, it's a jukebox musical. It's kind of like Moving Out, the Billy Joel thing, and not really I Walk the Line. What's another good example of that, where Rock of Ages, where it's basically, hey, we're singing songs, but they're mashups of songs you already know, and we've kind of built a little loose framework of story around it, and brr, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Jersey Boys, yeah, is another one.
Oh, I never saw that. Was that good?
Never saw it either.
Yeah.
But I know that's what it is.
It looked good. It looked all right.
Yeah, I'm sure it's really good.
Okay, quick note. I want to make sure this is well known, and so you'll probably hear me say it a couple of times before the end of the week, but Tanner has put together a Discord Frog Pants Horror Movie Night this Friday. If anybody wants to come, they can come. This is all going to be on our Discord, which you can join for free at frogpants.com/Discord if you're not already in there. And if you are in there, you'll find the room. There's a place where this is all happening. And here's the schedule. 5 p.m. Mountain on Friday. The Empty Man. They begin with The Empty Man.
The Empty Man.
Yep. Then the Full Man, right? No, there's no Full Man.
There's the meal break, and then the Full Man.
And then the Full Man. Then you got Sinister at 7:25. That sounds like fun. I may have to tune in for that because I have not seen
that's
Sinister.
That's the one with the elongated face scream thing, right? Like, I think that's in that.
Oh, is it? I hate
is that
those.
A nun? That's one of the nun ones. Part of the...
Oh, a spin out of summoning or summoning. What's it called?
A haunting. No. Not the haunting. The other one.
The summoning.
The Annabelle... The Annabelle-iverse.
What is wrong with my brain?
Am I thinking something wrong? Am I thinking...
The shit potatoes.
Haunting, isn't it? Why am I thinking it's
Conjuring.
The haunting?
Shit,
the Conjuring.
Conjuring.
That's it. Yep.
Oh,
we need to be done with the blankening movies. Can we be done with all those?
Because
they're too damn confusing.
I agree with you. Anyway, you got. I think that is a spin out. I could be wrong. Oh, no. Sinister's not. Spin out. You know, it's the new spin off. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Sinister is not. It's not. It's not part of the nun.
No, it's the phone guy. Ethan Hawke's the bad guy, takes the kid.
Gotcha. Okay.
I have seen that. So, all right. So anyway, that's one of them.
I've not seen that.
That one's really good. 9:25 p.m. Hereditary. I've seen that 4 times now.
Ooh.
That game's scary as hell.
Once that game.
Yeah. That thing is just.
Whew. Oh, I thought you said that game is scary.
Did I say game?
You said that thing.
Oh,
I thought you said game, but maybe not.
I thought I said thing, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it's a kind of a game. I'll give you that. And then at 11:35 p.m., Barbarian, one of the best movies of the last 10 years, I think. And yes, last year's my favorite horror movie. It's fantastic. Get excited. You don't have to be there for the whole thing. Pop in and out. Whatever you want to do. Yeah, it's just a little community movie time. And no one's doing any commentary over it. We're just watching movies. So show up when you can. I can't even be there for the whole thing. I may pop in for some of this. But, you know, everyone's Friday's different. So check that out. That is, again, starting at 5 p.m. on Friday all the way up till Barbarian at 11:35 p.m.
Feels like a missed opportunity to not throw The Exorcist in there just so that people can watch it before Film Sack. But
that's a great idea. Actually, it's not a bad idea at all.
If there's anything you can slot in, Tanner, throw The Exorcist in there for people.
I like that idea. Mm-hmm. Also got a sugar-free recommendation from Eyeball Cindy.
Yeah, nice of you to put that in there, but not actually put the recipe. What the hell?
I know, right? Here's what she wrote. She says, this is a text. She goes, hey, guys, it's Eyeball Cindy. Scott, you wanted a sugar-free version of the Starbucks pumpkin drinks. If you guys like iced coffee, there is a sugar-free recipe for the pumpkin iced coffee. And then it wasn't in the text.
Oh, she didn't actually include it?
No. So I don't know if it just didn't come through. I don't know. It wasn't like an attachment.
Cindy.
I don't know what happened there. She may have done totally fine, and the Google Voice line I use doesn't take her images or something. I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, maybe she did a little scan or something.
Totally could have been.
Well, I sure hope she's, has a little bit more quality assurance when she's working on eyeballs than...
Yeah, I know, right? You got to make sure those eyes are okay. Let me go double. I'll double check the mail just to make sure. It says here. Oh, no, that's weird. Hold on. Let's pull that up. Okay. I think maybe there's a chance. Yeah, no, it's blank. It's just blank.
Aw.
So I don't know what to tell you, Cindy, except thank you for trying, I guess.
Hey, Cleo. So it's all right. So there's this new recipe, this new hot drink that's going all around that is like a super customized pumpkin spice chai drink. And let me scroll up to Randy's description of the drink from months ago.
Oh, while you're doing that, I found it. It wasn't from her, but I found it. I'll put it in here.
Okay.
So now it's in, you can see it. I'll put it up on the thing while you're looking that up. There you go, Chad. Well, that's her recipe.
I probably don't need to. Iced pumpkin cream chai tea latte with oat milk, 1 pump of vanilla, and two pumps of brown sugar is the original 1,000 calorie recipe.
Yes. So this one is. So you can order it. You go 1 no vanilla syrup. 2, 3 pumps of sugar-free vanilla syrup. This is what you're telling the lady behind the counter.
You're not going to say the numbers because they'll get really confused.
Yeah.
Don't say, you don't order something and say no vanilla syrup.
Yeah, that's true. You don't do that, do you?
You just customize it and you don't say 2, 3 pumps of sugar.
You don't go, Karen, no vanilla syrup. First off. So you get 3 pumps of sugar-free vanilla syrup. You get 1 pump of pumpkin sauce, they're calling it.
Mm-hmm. Pumpkin sauce.
Splash of heavy cream, pumpkin spice topping, sugar-free foam. And okay. It says make sure you ask for that sugar-free vanilla in the cold foam. Otherwise, the macros will not be the same. I think this is for keto people. The macros. Yeah,
Keto people in your whole different language.
Yeah, they talk in a weird way. So the whole thing is 155 calories and only 8 grams of net carbs.
Oh, that's not bad for a hunt for a venti.
Yeah,
that's
dude.
Pretty freaking incredible.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. So I think that's it. I'm going to try this. Let's see what I think.
3 pumps sugar-free vanilla syrup. But what's the line right before it? No vanilla syrup.
No vanilla syrup. Okay.
But then 3 pumps of sugar-free vanilla syrup. Just leave out the line that says no vanilla syrup and just say 3 pumps of,
I don't know. Maybe the people at Starbucks just are so automatic with the sugary stuff.
I think so. Well, if you say a pumpkin cream cold brew, they automatically think vanilla syrup. Here's the way you do this. Use the app. Just use the Starbucks app. Tap the little buttons, customize it, then walk in, pick up your drink, and never even have to talk to a person.
So that's good. Let's do that. Yes. I'm doing that.
Do that.
Doing that today. I ain't taking this list and reading it off like a weirdo in the drive-up. That'd be weird. I want to order it ahead of time. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Let's see. So Claire... they put an I in Claire. Ha! She sent a photo of what she ordered there to get kind of the same thing. One own cup. Oh, because you brought her own cup, and they put a sticker on it. Nice. One oat, so oat milk, one vanilla syrup, 2 brown sugar. Oh, this is really just the... She just sent us a photo of what the Randy recipe is.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Well, we don't want that, Claire. We're trying to shave pounds and live longer.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what we're here about. Check this out. Dave Podnar sent us something cool.
We're trying to shave off the pounds. Now let's eat some Funyuns.
Yeah, let's eat some Funyuns to make that up, you know? Oh, so, before I do, look what I got on Etsy, by the way.
Oh, is that your fake burger?
Fake burger. Look at this thing.
So what is shredded all over the
top? Okay, so the top, it's the lighting in here is bad, but it's supposed to be one of those buns that has that like crumble bake stuff on it. I've had it before, but I don't know what you call it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. It's a lot though, right?
Like it is a lot. Like why not just sesame seeds? Like it looks like the bun is fine. Why have all those?
I don't know. It's some kind of
pencil shavings or something.
It kind of does. Also, this thing freaking stinks.
Does it really? Like just plastic smell?
Oh gosh, worse than that. I don't know what to compare it to. It's like I don't have a word for it. It's a new smell for me. It's a new smell. But look, they got fake mayo in there and everything.
I like the fake onions hanging out of the side. Yeah. Some lettuce.
And they got some cheese under there, and the bun's pretty good. Anyway, this is like $7 is all on an Etsy store, and I was like, yeah, dude, make me
That's
a custom.
As much as a burger at Red Robin.
I know, right?
The same exact burger at Red Robin.
Yeah, but I'd be pooping that out by noon. This I get to keep forever and never eat.
You get to keep forever. You can have your burger and never eat it, too.
That's right.
Let us know how you mess with Van with that thing.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I'm going to hand it to him, go take a big bite, and he's going to be like, what? And then he'll hate me forever. Anyway, Podnar, Dave Podnar, that is, sent us spicy queso onion-flavored Funyun rings.
And right. So, what we had last time was the potato chips that were Funyun-flavored. Now we're having the Funyuns that are queso-flavored.
Yeah, and we're going to try these and see what we think of them. Where's my foodie thing? It's in here somewhere.
Oh, I'm not liking the smell of these.
Don't like the smell? No good smell? Why can't I find... Oh, geez, hold on.
Ooh, they just smell dusty.
How about this one?
Uh-oh. Almost washed your food down.
All right. We'll use that today. All right, we're going to try them. I haven't opened it. Oh!
Yeah, okay.
You know what smells... Let me tell you what smells worse than this rubber burger. This bag. I'm not kidding.
I know. It's really... It's not good.
All right, here we go. Got a Funyun. Oh, they taste good, though.
Mm-hmm.
As often is true on here when we do this, they smell bad but taste great.
Not that they smell bad on the outside.
Why do they have sugar in these at all? What's the point of that?
I don't know.
I think it holds shit together. I think that's why it sugars and everything.
Total sugar is less than 1 gram.
So yeah, it's not too bad. Those aren't bad. I like them.
They're not bad.
I'll be nice and spicy though.
Look, nice little
kick
finish
on
that thing.
Yeah. I like it. That's good stuff. So Dave Podner, A, thank you. B, also very nice of him to send like some of this jewelry his wife makes. And he sent the nicest thing to Kim about her sister and stuff. It was just really sweet.
Oh, very cool.
So thank you for that. You're a good dude. You've been a good dude for a long time, but this makes you a gooder dude.
You continue to be a good dude.
Yeah. Of all the dudes, you're the goodest.
All the young dudes?
Yeah. All the young dudes.
That's that great Beyonce cover of Mott the Hoople. We love that. Yeah. That's a
that's not really a cover, is it? That song a cover?
No.
Oh shit.
No. Well, actually, Mott the Hoople's All the Young Dudes technically is a cover because David Bowie. So Mott the Hoople, the struggling glam band, just weren't able to get a hit. The lead singer, I think, was friends or knew David Bowie. David Bowie says, "I have two songs I can give you. Your choice, Young Americans or All the Young Dudes." And Mott the Hoople said, "Oh, we'll take All the Young Dudes." And it was a big hit for them. And then Young Americans was a big hit for Bowie.
Oh, wow. So is it Mott the Duple? What is it?
Mott the Hoople.
Hoople. Okay. That's a very weird name.
Mott the Hoople.
All right. Because whenever you say something's a cover, I automatically believe it now because you're almost always right.
I'm an authority on that.
Right. So when you say that Beyonce covered All the Single Ladies, my immediate thought is, well, of course she did, because this is always true. People are always covering each other, and then you get full credit for it, man.
Right, exactly. Well, it's if you make it your own, if you make it a really incredible cover, especially of a lesser known obscure song, then yours becomes the, de facto starting point for other people's discoveries of that song. Right.
So that's true. Yeah.
Respect by Aretha Franklin cover, because, nobody really remembers the Otis Redding version. And she added so much to it.
See, again, I didn't know that. How do I not know these things? They just don't tell you,
Yeah, they don't tell you in school. There's unfortunately my syllabus for this is a cover. Bet you didn't know this was a cover class. Never gets approved for high schools around the country.
No. Well, that just tells you where our education system is right now, Brian. Mm-hmm. It's not good.
Does, exactly.
We're underfunded. We're understaffed. And Brian's list never makes it to the front of the class.
never makes it.
I didn't mean to rhyme that. All right, we are going to go do some news now. Oh, what's that song by Something in the Sky Till I
Spirit
Die?
In the Sky.
Spirit
Norman
in the Sky.
Greenbaum.
Yeah, that's a cover, right? The 80s one we all think of is a cover.
The 80s one by Doctor and the Medics is a cover.
Gotcha.
The original is Norman Greenbaum, and they really didn't change a whole lot between the versions. So you could hear the Norman Greenbaum version and say, I think I'm listening to the version from the 80s and not know it, and vice versa.
Just made it so popular in like these dance places I was going at that age. That everybody thought, oh, this is the hot new business. And then I found out on MTV or somewhere later that it was a cover, and I went, is this a thing people do all the time? And sure enough, even all these years later, hell yeah, it is.
Low these many years later.
Yeah. These many 365-day rotations later. all right, let's get to some news. We got to break some news today. Not really. There's nothing breaking here.
This is just it.
It's all exciting. Let's do it anyway. Time for the news brought to you by
Kimchi Dogs.
So here's what Scott's doing.
Yeah.
Scott, I got an air fryer. See, we talked about that before.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah, and I've been using it like crazy. And let me tell you something. Yeah. I thought I'd had decent toast in my life. The best toast I've ever had has come out of this air fryer.
Oh, really?
Oh, my gosh.
I think it's good. I think it's good toast because you and I have the same one. You have the same Cuisinart one that's like a countertop model. It does. It's a toaster oven and air fryer and broiler and all that stuff.
Yeah, right? And it looks like a it's all like silver.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Comes with the three trays. Take two of them out when you're doing the aerating one. Yeah, I think we have the exact same one.
And
they have a setting for toast where you can say, I want it to be between 1 and 10 dark, and I want it to whatever, 2 or 3 pieces. Yeah. And that stuff
comes out of there. What's your number you're putting it on?
If it's a piece of sourdough, see, I've even gotten it down to a couple of bits of science here.
Oh, look at that.
If it's a piece of sourdough, 5. Okay. If it's something a little more processed, like a hot dog bun, which is gets me to my kimchi dog thing, I put that on a 3 because those tend to cook quicker because they're junk. I mean, it's junk food, right?
Yeah, right.
So that's what I did with this hot dog bun. And man, you pull that out, you slap. And the hot dog I just do in the microwave for a minute and a half. They're beef dogs from the, what's the one?
Totally fine.
What's the Jewish one?
I know what you're talking about. Kosher.
It's like a
Schleitman's.
No, it's called like Herman's. Shit, whatever it is.
Yeah,
Hebrew National. That's it.
Oh, Hebrew National. Right.
It's not Herman's at all.
Herman's.
No, Hebrew National. They're amazing hot dogs, and these are all beef. So anyway, I fire that up in the thing. I time it right, so that's coming out of the microwave nice and hot and ready to rock at the exact same time the bun's done. I put the bun down, put the hot dog in, little mustard on each side, right? Mm-hmm. Cut up some pickles, small pickles, wedge those in, and then I top it with the kimchi you get at Walmart. Doesn't matter what kind, or not Walmart.
Costco.
That stuff's really good. But if you homemade, doesn't matter. Wherever you get your kimchi, get it. And then you just kind of wedge it all in there, make a little thing. I put a picture up on Instagram. I'm telling you, dude.
I saw that photo you put up on the socials, and it's really a gorgeous looking meal.
It's right very there. Good. Very good.
Now, you're not counting that, though, as your Wendy homework, right? That does not count as cooking something above and beyond.
No, but thank you for the reminder.
Microwaving a beef dog.
And, I appreciate the reminder because I am behind on my homework. I got to get that done in the next day.
Yeah. You and me both. You and me both. Because I need to read something that I normally wouldn't read, which means I can't just pick up the next unread Chuck Palahniuk novel that I haven't read yet. I have to read something like Eat, Pray, Love or Girl with the Powdered Earring or whatever.
Yeah, whatever the latest one.
The girl who played with her earring. What is it?
The dragon with a girl tattoo. I like that.
The dragon with a girl earring. That's it.
Nailed it. Boy, those Swedes with their weird books. But anyway, so we got homework. I'm glad you brought that up. But if you're looking for a quick kimchi dog and you've got the perfect toasting device.
I'll have to try that with the hot dog bun.
It's fantastic.
A little butter on there, did you say? Or
little bit. I did put some on there just to keep it from getting all dried out. But what else did I put in there? That was it, I guess. No ketchup on this. This is all a savory kind of soury kind of take, you know, that you do with the kimchi and the mustard and the pickles and stuff. So I think ketchup would add sweetness to it that I don't want. So I didn't do that.
Yeah, no.
But it's not fancy or anything, but I've done like 3 of them in 3 days.
It's your new go-to.
They're so good.
It sounds amazing. Wait till you try making a doggerito in the microwave.
Oh, my Lord. Maybe I'll figure out the air fryer for that. I don't know.
I mean, not microwave. The air fryer is what I meant.
What if I used... could I put a flour... I could do flour tortilla wrapped things in there and they would toast
up nicely.
You totally
could. Yeah, for sure.
All right. I'll think of it.
You'd almost be better off using a Pillsbury... unroll biscuit dough kind of thing, you know, and wrap that around the dog and then put that in the air fryer and boom.
That would work.
Bob's your uncle.
That's like a monstrous sized pig in a blanket, you know?
It is. That's exactly what it is, yeah.
Because when we got those when we were younger, those were tiny little wieners. They weren't anything.
Yeah, no. Put it around. Wrap that around your beef dog.
Yeah, wrap it around your beef dog and go to town.
And air fry it.
That's awesome. All right, here's your news for the week, or the day, rather, because we'll be back tomorrow with more. Michigan State has apologized for displaying a picture of Adolf Hitler at the video board of the football game there. This was a thing. I saw this somewhere else as well. It was kind of a big whoop for a minute. Michigan State University, MSU, for those who are fans, has suspended an employee and apologized for displaying a picture of Adolf Hitler on the video board during a trivia quiz before the school's football game against in-state rivals, the University of Michigan, on Saturday. U of M is what you would say there.
Sure.
Photos began circulating on social media before kickoff of Hitler on the video board at Spartan Stadium with a trivia question asking where he was born. Quote, MSU is aware the appropriate inappropriate content by a third-party source was displayed on the video board prior to the start of the game. I went on to say in the statement, we are deeply sorry for the content that was displayed, and this is not representative of our institutional values. Okay, I have a question about this.
Yeah.
If your trivia question is, when was Hitler born?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide why an image of him is a problem. Like, images of him are a problem in general.
You mean, are you saying, you know, if it's just relevant to the question, why is it a problem?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because relevance to the question is just like, oh, well, here's, I mean, you could say Hitler without showing a picture of him, right?
You could. I just think the timing of it with what's going on in Israel is, you know, is just bad optics right now, I think.
Yeah, this is probably the worst time to have Hitler stuff, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
But even also, if you're going to do a trivia thing, maybe just don't have the Hitler question in there. I mean, you can have it, maybe, I guess, if you want to. Or do this, if it's a bar trivia, I feel like none of this is a problem for some reason. Like, you just, when was Hitler born? Oh, shit, we'll figure it out. Okay, you know.
And in the same token, like, if I go to bar trivia and a question about Hitler comes up, they're probably not going to have his picture up on the screen. It'll just be, you know, what kind of car? What was the model of car that Hitler was most often seen driving in photos? That sort of thing. And then maybe after that, they'll show a photo of it.
I think Hitler is, in history, probably has the most staying power as a too soon icon. What I mean by that is this. If you show Genghis Khan, a picture, a painting of Genghis Khan, because there were no photos then, and you put it up on screen at the baseball game, and you say, or whatever, if this was it football? It's football. And you say, when was Genghis Khan born? Nobody gives a shit. We all just put it off, even though that guy's responsible for millions of deaths. Yeah. A horrible dictator type dude. And there's lots of those, right? And you could just keep pulling him up. But Hitler, I feel like Hitler will never not be too soon. You know what I mean?
You won't. You're right. Exactly. There was, you know, it was so devastating what he did that we're never going to look at a picture of him and say, all right, I feel like I can finally see a picture of Hitler now and not feel tremendous sadness and anger. And
That's like the only, it's just about, I was thinking about this because they found a mummy, a new mummy, where the person who died.
A brand new fresh mummy.
Fresh mummy. Brand new mummified corpse was found, and they were all just gathered around it and poking at it and doing all this stuff. And I'm fascinated by that stuff, and I think anthropology is interesting and all of that. But it got me thinking, if this person was freshly dead, none of you are going to go near this thing. But because it's hundreds of years old, it's awesome to see it. It's cool. Yeah. Like, even if you said to me, hey, Scott, it's legal for you to have this the skull of someone who died in the 1600s, and we just have an old skull laying around, which I don't think it's legal, but if it was, you could just have this skull on your desk and say, yes, that was from the 1600s. That was probably a plague victim or something. That's a cool symbol. But if you put the head, the skeletal head of a guy who died a year ago, that's effing weird. Time's funny, man. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a non-human example, like saying, hey, look at this stamp I just got to the post office versus look at this stamp I got from the, you know, from the 1800s, the first Pony Express, our first post Pony Express stamp, something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a weird thing we do as humans.
Yeah.
And it's fine. You know, I mean, I understand. Look, if I was the university and this happened at this particular moment in time where everybody's all over the freaking place about Israel and Palestine and everything, I get why this would just feel like, whoa, read the room, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe the wrong time to have this question up. You know, you could ask about Hitler 5 years ago, no problem. And hopefully when things get resolved and get better, in the Middle East, we can come back to this Hitler question, but maybe just not right now.
Right. Maybe now's not the time. Yeah. But I think acknowledging Hitler existed and he did terrible things, I don't think we should be avoiding that, you know.
And maybe
by telling them to pull that down and fire the guy is a form of saying that. I don't know. It's an interesting thing that I got thinking about. Mm-hmm. And I will now not think about it anymore as I move on to our next news story. Our next news story is this. A man was arrested for faking a heart attack 20 times at a restaurant to avoid paying the bill.
Not well, 20 times at restaurants. Like, he didn't try doing this all over and over at the same restaurant. He went to different restaurants.
That would be great, though.
That would be great.
He's at a Shoney's, and he's just...
This is very similar. Speaking of Chuck Palahniuk books, this is very similar to the plot of the book and movie Choke. Another great Sam Rockwell performance. But basically, Sam Rockwell would fake choking in a restaurant, and then the person who comes over and performs the Heimlich on him and quote-unquote saves his life would feel so indebted to him that he'd keep getting money and presents and stuff like that every year on his birthday from that person.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wait, so that person wasn't in on it then? They were part of the ruse. Okay.
No, the Heimlicher versus the Heimlichy.
The Heimlichy. You guys, there's a title in there somewhere. You got to go make that now.
Go work that. I gave you all the ingredients. It's time for you now to make cake out of that.
Yeah, there you have it. I didn't know Choke was about actually choking. I don't know why I didn't know that. Yeah. Never saw it.
It was originally called Choke Club, and then he said, I don't want to get typecast.
Yeah, and plus, you can't talk about Choke Club.
Choke Club,
Is that a good movie? Should I put that on some sort of list?
It's an okay movie. It's a great book, and it's a pretty good movie. But it's a great Sam Rockwell performance.
Well, he's always good.
There are no bad Sam Rockwell performances.
That is actually true. Even his worst films, he's not the problem, ever.
No.
Yeah. I agree with that. Anyway, so this guy did this. He's 50 years old. He's from Lithuania. Not Lithuania. It's a very different place. Was arrested in Spain after alleging fake heart attacks at several restaurants in order to avoid paying the bill. The man who was identified as Adidas J.
Sadly, it's only Adidas. There's only one D in there, but I really wanted you to say Adidas.
The word sadly is the appropriate here.
It looks so close to Adidas that when you glance at it, it absolutely looks
like
Adidas.
And I want him to be that. I want him to be Adidas.
My Adidas.
My Adidas J. But has become known locally as Gastrojeta.
Gastrojeta.
Is a jeta is what you'd say, probably?
Gastrojeta, because it's in Spain.
That makes sense. He tried to scam at least 20 times over the past year at different restaurants near Alicante.
Sure, Alicante.
According to the Spanish newspaper El País and Spain's EFE news agency. Most recently, the man ordered a seafood paella and two whiskeys at the El Buen Comer restaurant Taperia. Last September and had a bill of 34.85 euros. That's about 36 US. The man attempted to leave without paying, but the restaurant stopped him halfway, noted how he still needed to pay the bill. The scammer became visibly upset and said he was going to get the money from his hotel room. When staff refused to let him leave without paying, the man dramatically threw himself on the ground and pretended to have a heart attack.
was it a heart attack or just a tantrum? Like, threw himself on the ground.
I know, you sound like a baby.
Did he go, I'm coming, Elizabeth. I'm coming.
Have you ever seen anybody choke or have a medical emergency in a restaurant?
Ooh, no, I don't think I have, actually.
I think we've both been on planes where something was going down, right?
Yeah. Where they turn the lights on and ask if there's a doctor on the plane.
Yeah.
But we were sitting behind the person and could only see the back of their seat and the flight attendants talking to them. So never saw it. Chris in the chat room says, show a photo of this guy. It's awesome. We need to see a photo.
Oh, let's take a look here. Also, Larry Kenobi says he should have done it at the Heart Attack Grill in Vegas. I agree.
Yes, exactly. Then you definitely don't pay. If you have a heart attack, your meal is free. But they have women in fake nurse outfits to confirm that you're actually having a heart attack. I do love that this article from Fox TV U2.
Some local news.
The first photo is paella.
Yeah.
This is a picture of paella, not the paella that he ate, and not the dude.
Where is the dude?
I don't see a photo of the dude. Here we go. Icor maybe found one. Let's see if this is a photo of the dude. There it is right there. I'll give you a copy.
Yeah, please do. I don't see the dude. I want to see the dude.
I hope there's a better picture of the dude than this one that Icor just sent.
This is as close as we're going to get, maybe. This is the dude? Is this him on the floor going, oh?
That's him on the floor having his little tantrum. I'll get you, Daredevil.
Wow. Yeah, dude. No kidding. This is like,
where's King, my white suit?
Kingpin Jr. here. Oh, there's a bigger picture of his face down on the Daily
a
Lab.
A little
post.
Bit lower, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's tons of these.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck to him in the future, because I don't know how you keep doing that after you've been busted so hard, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's done.
Might have to figure out a new shtick.
Yeah.
Your heart attack has been played, sir. You need.
Yeah, I did. So I witnessed somebody doing the Heimlich, but it was in high school at the cafeteria, and it was a kid who had some condition where it was hard to swallow.
Oh, really?
And so, okay. Yeah, he was. I don't know what he had. It was something. It was the kind of person that you would give that thickened liquid to. That you
thickened
hate so
liquid.
Much.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, thickened liquid contender.
He was a really cool kid, but he had something was wrong. It was like ALS, but not. It wasn't. Yeah. It didn't have the same death sentence, but it was like it was kind of a some lifelong thing. Anyway. He choked and some kid did it who remembered it from like his CPR training or something. I think he was like a what do you call those? Lifeguards. Jeez.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The lifeguard turned over there, did it. He was a hero for a while.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then that guy went to another school. And then we were all like, oh, there goes my hero. Watch him as he goes.
Okay, that was a ways to go, but it
was
paid off.
It took me a minute. And also the Foo Fighters weren't even a band when this happened. But. Or, excuse me, Foo Fighters, not the. We got to get that straight.
No, the.
Yeah. Here's a fun one. I don't know what to make of this. So I'm just going to read it. All right? So take this, everybody. Please. Take it for what it is. Amazon lets its drivers' urine be sold as an energy drink. Wait, what?
Feels like... I had to look and see where this came from because this really felt like a The Onion article.
It did. It's Wired, though. Wired.com.
Yeah.
And I did the same. I was like, we need to make sure this isn't bullshit.
Yeah.
Here's what the rest of the article says because it will make sense. The drink had all the hallmarks of a beverage sensation. Striking design, bold font, and the punchy name, Release. I don't like that. But inside, each bottle was filled with urine, allegedly discarded by Amazon delivery drivers and collected from plastic bottles on the side of the road. That didn't stop Amazon from listing it for sale. Release, the drink called Release, even attained number one bestseller status in the bitter lemon category. That makes me want to die. That makes me want to die.
That feels like it's so gaming the system like Justin and Brian used to do with their...
Oh, big time. Big time.
Fanfic books.
Yeah. I heard somebody told me yesterday that Justin shaved for DTNS. Well, not for DTNS, but he was on DTNS and he'd shaved his beard. Mm-hmm. So I went over there real quick just to check it out. He looks like a thumb without his beard. So I'm never I'm never going to shave my beard again. Going to keep it forever.
Yeah, forever.
Yeah, I don't want to look like a thumb.
Can't do it. The I had to look at the the photo of this thing. Clicking on that link, and it's good to see Charlie Bucket fresh from working in the chocolate factory holding a bottle of this energy drink urine.
Look at that kid. He's weird looking.
He is weird looking, right?
He's weird looking. I don't know, man. Something's up at that face. I mean, no offense. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so he really did this and listed it. He's a journalist, a presenter, and a renowned puller of stunts, which is awfully close to prankster, and I don't like the term. I hate prankers. I hate them.
No. And now I like this guy even less because I'm guessing that's who this photo is this...
Oh, that's totally him, yeah.
Yeah, this butler dude.
Says Uba, he's probably...
Uba Butler. Is that really his name?
Yeah. Makes you want to die a little bit inside. It says here he is probably most famous for turning his shed into a London garden or his shed in his London garden into a number one ranked restaurant on TripAdvisor. So, yeah, he's just hacking the system is what he does. Great American Heist begins with him infiltrating an Amazon distribution center in Coventry with a hidden camera. This is all in Europe. And speaking to workers who complain of foot and back pain, potentially dangerous working conditions, and near consistent surveillance or constant surveillance, Butler spends his first day unloading a baking hot truck with no working fan or air conditioning, and it's full of pee in bottles. So, and it worked. You know,
I don't think I've ever seen a more punchable face than that one right there. Like that is a That is a face right there that just screams, punch me.
See him down at the end here with these two kids. I don't know if they're his kids, but.
Oh, let's see.
He's doing something. All weather block bait.
With his knives.
I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know
The kids are adorable.
His kids are cute if they're his. I hope they're his.
He's got Pete Davidson wake and bake eyes, unfortunately.
Oh, those are his nieces, it looks like.
Okay.
Oh, and there's a whole other story about other dark shit he's done. Yeah, I don't want to give this guy anymore.
Yeah.
Any more pimpage. Well, anyway, if you see a bottle of hot yellow liquid, maybe don't drink it is all I'm going to say at the end of that.
Exactly, yeah.
Final story, a Muncie woman, Muncie, Indiana.
Muncie woman.
Yeah, Muncie woman.
She's a Muncie girl.
What's her power, Brian? What's Muncie woman's power?
Well, she's able to help promote and market this extruded circle, you know, for kids. Excelsior!
Oh, man, what a power that is.
This is a deep cut for like four of you that got the reference.
Yep. Let us know. Write in. Let us know which four of you are out there. Muncie woman stole a car from a dealership. And she used it to drive to exotic dancer interview in Indianapolis, job she was trying to get, according to court docs. So stole the car to go to her interview. Police claim this woman didn't know what the big deal was about stealing a Kia from a car dealership in order to allow her to drive to Indianapolis for a job interview to be an exotic dancer. Just can't imagine what's wrong with that.
I'm your private dancer. I just stole this Kia.
What else do you want me to do? I'm your private
dancer. Now back to my sportage. And any old music will do.
There's a upcoming film sack Brian song in there.
I know. Exactly. If only I wrote songs for individual news stories. Not gonna do that.
Well, in this court document set, 20-year-old Cassia Shelton acted like this whole thing was a joke and did not understand what she was going to be arrested for after police tracked her down, and questioned her about her stolen car. Police learned of the theft in 2013 of the 2013 Kia Optima. Oh, so she even stole an old car.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
10-year-old Kia Optima.
Maybe she thought, well, whatever.
Now, welcome to the main stage, Cassia Shelton, who will be dancing to Been Caught Stealing by Jane's Addiction.
Yep. And then, funny enough, sometimes when I copy a story out for our notes, it copies, like, the headline for another thing that's linked, embedded in there somewhere,
I
miss it. This one's amazing. Because at the end of the car was stolen, the very next sentence is, Richmond woman faked heart attack, hid drugs in privates, court docs reveal. Holy crap, I grabbed the wrong article. I want that one. Where's that?
Did it put that? Oh, there it is right there. It was jammed up into the next, the previous paragraph. Yeah. So it looked like it was part of it.
Wow. Yeah. And on the page itself, it was probably nicely CSS'd in there. You know, it was probably just fine, but
that's right.
I copied out.
Well, we got to introduce a Richmond woman to a Lithuanian man, and they can go have heart attacks and take drugs together.
That's right. She goes, all right, you ready? We're going to have a heart attack at this restaurant. Let's go into the Taco Bell. Have you got the heroin in your vagina? Because we need that too. Are we good? Okay, go. Anyway, this all got worked out and she's in trouble now. That's the end of today's news. We're glad to have informed you. Now we will entertain you with a song selection at the middle of the show from Brian Ibbett.
Oh, excellent. Claire, your title should be Grand Theft Auto Private Dancer.
That's pretty
good.
That's
what it should be right there.
That's pretty good.
And I'll promise never to do any more Elton John because he's out of my range. Hey, let's go to the East Coast for some punk rock. This is a band called Calling Hours. Not Visiting Hours, but I'm not making the effort. Calling Hours. Features members of the bands Far Side and Don't Sleep. They have a brand new single called Gin Perry. I don't know if that's a drink, but by golly, I want one right now. I really don't.
Sure.
Gin Perry, here is the band Calling Hours.
There's a carcass.
Hey, y'all, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp Therapy Online. Hey, for 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/morningstream. You ever had a time in your life where your brain just would like get in the way of all your good things you were working on? I feel like this has been true of me lately. You know, we had a funeral in our family and I had a way of really just bringing everything down. And it felt like my own head would just not get out of my own way. Kind of like you know what you should do, what's good for you at the time, but you just can't bring yourself to do it. Well, therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work on yourself instead of against yourself. It seems really important to all of us. And look, whether or not you've been in therapy before, it doesn't matter. These benefits are broad and awesome. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries for yourself. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, even in darker times. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma and that sort of thing. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your very busy schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/morningstream today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/morningstream.
Dogs of the AMS, time they made a move. It's been a while, hasn't it? My friends from the AMS, it's me, Goldman. Everything's set. All we need to do is wait.
Why would I go anywhere near your dirty pigs?
And we're back. Brian, who was that again?
Yeah, it's a brand new track from the band Calling Hours. Their new album is called Say Less. It's going to be the debut album. Comes out November 10th. That is the first single from Calling Hours called Gin Perry.
Write it down. Don't forget it. Go check it out and get it. All right. We're going to phase two Del Boca Vista here. We're going to call Dan. All right. Dan has shingles, so...
Does he really?
Yeah, so he can tell us.
Did he not get the vaccine?
I mean, I guess he just missed it. He's not quite, I don't think he's 50 yet, so shoot. That's usually when they tell you to do it, so it's a little bit of a bummer. He'll explain, though. We'll hear all about it and find out if it's as bad as it sounds. I know the vaccine sucked. That was a pain in my ass. So, in fact, I feel like I haven't completely, entirely gotten over that second one.
Really?
There's still parts of me that are like a little sensitive, like physically, that it never was like that until I got that second one. And he can probably help us understand all that. But let's play his intro.
Here's a tangent for you.
Be careful. May cause drowsiness.
Well, well, well. If it isn't Dan Patrice joining us as he does on the monthly to talk about not just board games, but sometimes medical stuff.
That's right. Greetings, programs. And hey, yes, I am not old enough to get the shingles vaccine yet, and they wouldn't even get it to me if I asked them for it.
Yeah, they won't let you pre-50, right? I don't think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you can get it from 19 on if you have pre-existing conditions and are immunocompromised. Yeah. And I'm just a regular old dude.
Yeah.
He's got nothing, you know, thank God, knock on wood, nothing else.
Just a hockey loving bastard who has way too many board games in his house. That's just who you are.
Pushing wooden stuff around a table a lot of times.
Well, and so just for those who may be tuning in for the first time or don't know this, Dan is a professional in the pharmacy world and knows a lot about these drugs and, you know, vaccines and all this sort of stuff.
I'm a doctor of pharmacy who is actually a certified vaccinator as well.
Oh, I could, next year I want to come to your, well, I'll fly out there in the fall and you can just shoot me up. You want to do that?
Yeah, no problem. Sure.
I would love to have Dan give me my shots. That'd be amazing.
I'm actually really, I have, you know, thousands and thousands of shots. And surprisingly enough, if you do it the right way, it does keep some of the initial pain down. Mm. You know, a lot of the stuff that happens later is not anything we can do about it. But, you know, sometimes if there are people who are given 1,000 shots at a time, it's a little hard to just, you're going jab, 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 jab everywhere. Mm. And it's hard to keep all the pain down for people. But there is definitely, you develop a technique and it is an art form for sure.
You ever have anybody go in there and go, And you say, okay, you want your left arm or your right arm? And they say, I'd like it in my bottom.
Actually, you'd be surprised that people would say stuff like that. So one of the funniest things that ever happened, we had to go to, I guess it's funny and sad at the same time. So I'm not making fun of old people, but I'm going to make fun of this situation as a whole, because this is what happens with people that are kind of a little, I'm needlephobic too, but right. This is an extreme one. We were going to give flu shots to a rest home. Mm. And, you know, like most clinics, you go to the places and they just kind of parade people in there. This poor little old lady, her skin was like paper thin, like a lot of old people. She didn't have a whole lot of muscle to work with.
Yeah.
But it was kind of almost reminiscent of, and this is what happens when you get old, kind of like your faculties are all over the place. And you're reminiscent of a child in some ways when you're not all there. So as I was getting the needle kind of close to the skin, she would scream like I was killing her. And I'm like, I haven't even done anything yet. And then I would pull it back and she would stop screaming. It was almost like a dog or a kid. So I would get the needle close and she'd be like, whoops. You
know, and it would be back and forth. Like the alarm is going off kind of thing.
Felt so bad. And of course her daughter was there. She's like, just do it. She's like, she does this every time. Just go ahead and do it. I was like, I'm so sorry. She's like, don't worry about it.
I mean, have you ever had anybody faint while you're doing it or anything like that?
No, you do actually get some people, you know, you have to make them stay around, especially with flu shot season and stuff. You make them stay around for about 15 minutes or you ask them to. You can't force people to in case they get lightheaded from just from injection site reactions or the actual just getting an immunization or injection. Any injection can sometimes do that. So you want people to sit around in case they get lightheaded or are about to faint or anything. And like I said, I've given tens of thousands of flu shots and other immunizations, but I've never actually had some. I've heard stories of people just kind of falling out, and then you know, you got to call the EMS and stuff. And usually, it's generally just nothing, just a little bit of syncope, low blood pressure, or just normal nervous. Fainting stuff.
Yeah.
Luckily, nothing's ever been like a cardiac or anything to that extent. But normally, what happens is, you know, this was back when I worked at Kroger. So that's a food store, you know, a grocery store.
Yeah.
So people would come in there, you'd get your flu shot, and then they just walk away and keep shopping. So they're like, oh, I'm just going to, I'll check back in with you. And then they just do their thing.
I always take it as the law. Like, I have to sit there for 15. I never not do that. Because they tell me, it's like, you want to hang around here for 15 minutes? And I'm like, okay, anything you say, you're the one, you know the stuff, you're in charge. So I just stay there. I must be a sucker.
Yeah, I do the walking around. I'm like, I'm going to walk around the store. And then I walk around the store for like 5 minutes, feel fine, and then I walk
around. Then you leave.
Yeah. Yeah. And generally, if something's going to happen, it's usually going to be pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know, that it's going to happen.
You have a reaction right to away. It.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like you have needle police standing around waiting to tackle you from leaving or whatever. So that's good. So tell us about this whole shingles thing, because shingles sounds like it sucks ass.
Yeah. So about a week and a half ago, my arm started hurting. And, you know, I'm not 50 yet, but we're all of a certain age where you can walk into a room and pull a muscle and you're like, oh, what did I just do? You know, so I just thought I slept wrong and it kind of just my arm hurt and I couldn't pinpoint where it was. And then it just started feeling like the best way I can describe it is either sunburn all over my arm without having a sunburn, or if anybody's had gout out there, it felt like gout in my arm. So gout is obviously in your toes, but it's one of those things that when you have a real bad outbreak of gout, like even a sheet from your bed, it will be excruciating pain.
Right.
That's how sensitive your toes are. That's what my arm was like. It was just so sensitive. I couldn't get comfortable at night. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So then this weekend, I was hopping in the shower and Janice is like, did you get bit by something on your back? And I was like, no. So she said, there's a couple of dots on there. Then later Sunday night, it got a little bit bigger. So, of course, I called up our friendly neighborhood buddy. I sent Jerry a message.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I sent Tolbert a message and I was like, so here's what's going on. I was like, I think I know what this is, but I'm really hoping it's not, you know, or at least it would be a good explanation. So then, of course, like we get all the time, I got I'll have to text you guys my picture of this. So I sent Jerry.
Oh, Scott already sent it to me.
No, this isn't him, though. This is just a random.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Mine was nearly as bad as that. So mine was just kind of like 5 or 6 little kind of spot areas, just a little bit raised, not quite, nothing's crusted or oozing. That's kind of usually what happens, kind of one of the last things. And that's when you got to watch out for people. Because generally, even though everybody's got herpes, and that's what basically shingles is. So Jerry basically just said, yeah, you got textbook shingles, dude. I was like, oh, great. So I ended up getting some Valtrex and I'm taking that. So hopefully everything will go away and it won't have, a lot of times after shingles, you'll get post-herpetic neuralgia, which is just random pain, which just sucks.
Yeah, that stuff's probably the worst.
What's already going on with my arm. So my arm, after about a day and a half of being on the Valtrex, is kind of getting a little bit better as it is. So hopefully that's it. But like I was saying, you know, everybody kind of already has, you know, either the herpes virus in you or different forms. And a lot of us, especially at a certain age, have had chickenpox in the past. So it's basically there. But the main thing that I want to kind of stress to people, and I know that Wendy talks about this, and I know even Spag talks about this a bit. There's definitely a certain mindset or kind of a, I don't want to say like disease guilt, you know, in a way where like when something happens, you kind of either blame yourself or you just get a little bit down. Because that's the first thing I think of is like, what the F did I do to get this? Or what did I screw up? Or, but sure. The truth is nothing. These things just happen. So, and it's a very normal initial feeling for people. So I just want to remind everybody out there that gets things like this or something happens, just talk to people or just kind of remember it's not your fault.
Right.
You know, especially with, you know, with a lot of things and even things that you maybe think that are your fault. Just try to, you know, get yourself in a better mindset. However you need to talk to somebody, talk to your healthcare provider and things like that. Because it does kind of get you down when little things like this happens.
Yeah. If this happened to me, if I woke up with like the picture I had on our chat there for a second, if something like that was on me, I would immediately blame these kimchi dogs I've been eating for 3 days. That's what I would do. And it would be wrong of me to do it. You know, those are fine. Yeah. It's not their fault. It's something else. But yeah, this is so okay. If you're over 50, get the vax. If you Absolutely. Have had chickenpox, if you haven't had it, they won't give it to you. I guess they'll give it to you anyway, because how are you supposed to prove that you had chickenpox? I don't even know how you do that. Is there a record?
Right. I think, God, it's been a while since I've actually given these. So I'm pretty sure you can still get them over 50, even if you haven't had. I mean, you can still get the shot, even if you haven't had it. Because a lot of times when you haven't had chickenpox, you can either get chickenpox later and it's a lot worse than when you're a kid. Or it can just go straight to shingles. A lot of times when you're older, just because of the way the virus activates.
Kim's sister or one of her sisters had it in her face, or her sister Sarah had it in her face and under the dermis or something. It was really bad.
So you can get them a lot of times. I mean, it can be pretty bad. I mean, luckily mine's just you know, a little spot on my back that should go away. A lot of times you can have very diffuse, kind of the way the nerves and what they call the dermatomes kind of work. It's like it can kind of really get in there and just kind of spread through, almost like, you know, nerves look like they're all spider webby in the body. And so they can latch on to kind of one of those web, you know, one of those nerve endings and just kind of break out in the whole thing. And sometimes you can get them under your skin. I mean, under your hairline, in the skin under your hairline, sometimes around the eye. And it's generally, what's interesting about it is it's usually confined to one side of the body as well. Yeah. Like my other arm doesn't hurt at all. And I don't have any other symptoms anywhere else. It's just that my left arm and that kind of upper back is starting to just, you know, it's starting to get a little more sensitive, which means it's probably, the spot didn't hurt at all, but it's a little more sensitive now. So it's probably peaking and getting ready to go away. And luckily my arm pain and the tingling is going away a bit. So hopefully I'm on the mend, and hopefully I don't get any sort of, you know, and shingles is interesting because you can get it, you know, you can have these recurrences yearly, every 5 years. I mean, you'd never know when it's going to come back. Like, hopefully it doesn't come back for another 10 years or whatever, if it ever does. But, you know, a lot of times things like stress or other things. And of course, I've got the Gamers for Cures charity event that I run every year is coming up on 11/11 on Saturday 11th. So I'm in full charity mode. And that's probably the stress that the body you know, could, things like that could happen.
So once you get, so the vaccines, though, the two phase vaccine, you get one and then go back 2 weeks and get the second one, which just wrecked me, by the way. That was a rough second one for me. Mm-hmm. Does that mean I'm not supposed to ever get it? Or is there still, you can still get it?
No, you can, and like anything else, you can almost always still get anything you're vaccinated for, but it just makes the likelihood a lot less. And depending on the disease state, you know, disease that you are vaccinated for and what you do get, a lot of times there are a lot less, you know, the duration and the peak of it is a lot less. So
like the severity, like with COVID or anything else, your severity gets cut way back if you're
exactly, your severity is less. And that's the thing about, you know, even a flu shot. And it's a lot of times if you do get the flu, it's going to be, you know, a few days less. Maybe it won't be as bad on you. Same thing with kind of now the way the COVID vaccines are. It just helps your body to be a little bit prepared and have some of those antibodies so that things will be a little bit less severe for that.
Nice. Now, I happen to know through a little bird that you found a Kickstarter board game that you think Ibbit in particular, but me maybe as
so
well.
So both of these games, I think Ibbit would absolutely love. Yeah. And I think the game itself, actually both of these games, Scott, you would love too. We'll get somebody to teach them to you, but we would love them both.
I love the ongoing joke. Never stop. Always, always bring up my hatred of rules. I think it's great. I'm not complaining.
Cardboard games. Yeah. I actually have the second one, but not this new iteration of it.
Right. Okay, so well, let's talk about the board game first. So this is kind of a reimplementation of Eldritch Horror, which is kind of it's like Arkham Horror that they put out, kind of an Eldritch Horror version. It's like kind of a reskin, but a little bit different game. It's called Marvel Dagger, and it's kind of a longer playing game, but it's a lot of fun because you're controlling heroes and you're kind of completing missions to go against one big bad. Like you may have Loki or Red Skull or Ultron in the base game. You got all them, and you kind of have side missions you're going on. You're going on your hero-specific missions, and you're unlocking different things. So things like Eldritch Horror or Arkham Horror, you're getting items and things like that. So, and here, instead of that, what you're doing in Marvel Dagger is you're unlocking kind of side, you know, either sidekicks or other items. Like, you can unlock Mjolnir, or you're unlocking, you know, Bucky and things like that, depending on who you're playing. And then, you know, after you're done playing, so all you're really doing is you're choosing actions. And that's the thing. So, Scott, when anybody explains to you, here's what you're doing, but here's four actions you can do. That's the game, you know, and the person that's running the game is pretty much taking care of all the upkeep and stuff like that. So it's easy to teach. Sure. It is a little bit longer. I play it solo, and I played it once multiplayer. You play it solo, like kind of two-handed, where you're controlling two different heroes. The thing that's amazing to me these days is a company like Fantasy Flight. The rule book is kind of a mess. Like, you would think that so much testing would be done that you would have questions, and then they would be like, oh, well, we need to address that. Like, I watched a playthrough that Fantasy Flight did, and I'm sitting there watching it going, boy, they're screwing up rules all over the place. Like, you're in the company.
Really? Oh, funny.
That's, I mean, it's weird. I mean, it'd be
so
like,
wait, they're their this, own like, game. They're doing a video. They're doing a video of their own game and effing up the rules while they're playing it.
Yes. I mean, so effing up the rules may be a little extreme, but just forgetting little things, like just omitting little things.
Hmm.
So do you prefer the watch it played, like the rule things that come from the vendors themselves? Or as saccharine as that guy is, I do really like the here's how you play the game.
Yeah. So Rodney's good. I have to rotate who I watch the how to play. So Fantasy Flight, their particular how to play, not necessarily their playthroughs, their how to plays are very, very good. They're usually short and they're very concise, and they get an actor. He reminds me of, it might even be the same guy, the guy in Lord of the Rings who was the king that was like, he kind of jumps off in the third one.
Oh, King. The guy from, oh shit. Yes. I knew Theoden or King Theoden. No, he's the Rohan guy.
The other king.
The one that's eating the cherry tomatoes all gross while what's his name sings. Yes, that king.
Right. The king from Fringe.
The king from Fringe. It's not Theoden. It's King.
No, it's
Denethor. That's
Denethor?
It.
Denethor? Is that it?
Okay. Yes. Yes. So it even sounds like him. It might even be him because I know they get some good actors to do it. So a lot of times they'll get him to narrate some of their games.
That's
and he
cool.
does an excellent job. And I do like Rodney. And I think we've mentioned this in the past. As much as I like Rodney, and I know him personally, he just puts me to sleep when I watch him.
I know.
And there's he's Watch It Played. There's Game Rules. There's Paul Grogan. He's a Brit, so it's a little easier for me to listen to him and not fall asleep. But there's a lot of different people. John Gets Games. There's a lot of different people that do really good rules, that rules playthroughs. So I kind of rotate who I watch just to keep it fresh. And they all have different ways of describing the games and such. But the game that I think, if you are a Marvel fan or if you are a Dice Throne fan, Dice Throne is an excellent game. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of a two-player game where you're just basically chucking dice and attacking each other. Now, there's Marvel Dice Throne that had come out. I've got a couple of them. I got one that's got, I think it's got Doctor Strange and Thor and Loki.
Yeah, the Kickstarter one had like 12 mini boxes in the big box, and it was like such a great deal. Yeah. Mm.
It's a really fun game, and now they've got a Marvel Dice Throne that's going to be X-Men, because I know that's your weak spot, Brian.
I mean, Marvel is my weak spot, Dan.
Full stop. Although I feel like Spider-Man might win out if you're doing like an X-Men
that's
v Spider-Man.
True. Yeah, but like if you give me a board game that is just Spider-Man, I'll probably pick it up.
Yeah, that makes
and
sense.
And it's surprisingly very few of those, actually.
Yeah,
to be honest,
I know. Was that one that had just had the hands of all of his villains?
So that's kind of an actually a fun little co-op one. Oh, yeah. I can't remember what that one was, but yeah,
I did pick that up because it looked really cool and tune. I have not played it yet, but I got to break that out and teach her how to play that one.
Yes, that is a fun one and a good co-op game as well. Sometimes it can get a little bit deterministic where it's basically there's not a damn thing you can do to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because right. A lot of times the way your cards are coming out and the way the symbols are coming out, sometimes you can kind of get past that, but sometimes it's like you're just not going to, you know, I guess Pandemic can be like that a little bit too, where if depending on how the shuffle is and like, doesn't matter how good you are, you're just not winning this one.
Yeah. I mean, would you call that RNG or would you call that something else?
It is kind of RNG in a way, because it is the way it's the cards are shuffled and stuff. And it's pretty rare with something like Pandemic, or when you start ratcheting up the difficulty, or if you played Pandemic Legacy, just kind of sometimes how the legacy elements come out and how the cards come out. You're just staring into defeat sometimes.
Yeah.
They're still totally fun games.
Sure.
And it does similar thing here with, they also are putting out Marvel missions. There's a co-op missions for the Dice Throne. So it takes from where you're playing one-on-one to playing a co-op. And then the final thing they have in this Kickstarter is Deadpool is also out in this Kickstarter as part of them.
Not going to back this one just because I've got the original is enough for me, but I do like all the things they added to this new one. I mean, there's so much stuff.
Yeah, these figures are crazy.
To me, the co-op cool. Alone.
Yeah. Look at that.
I absolutely love co-op, and it was also a really good. So I don't know if I shared it with you guys. I did a really cool video of just kind of. I wouldn't say it's a really cool video. It's just me, but it's. So, I don't know how cool that can be. So
very
I did a
cool, video Dan. Kind
of, so cool.
Don't sell yourself short.
It's the coolest. Come on.
Yeah, because I've been trying to do a little bit more video content for some board games, you know, overviews and kind of playthroughs and stuff like here and there. So I did a solo playthrough on one game and kind of some overviews. But I did do kind of an unboxing of Game Toppers. They just had another Kickstarter today. So if you guys ever thought we like to, for lack of a better term, we like to kind of pimp out our games. Like when we get a game, you know, you can get better bits for it or you get better storage, just kind of stuff like that. Just makes your game experience.
Sure.
But something I've always wanted was kind of like a game topper or a better table with a playmat. So I got a Game Topper from Game Toppers LLC. They just have a Kickstarter today. So if you want to get on like better pricing and you can also, they've got some contests so you can win some stuff. Check out Game Toppers LLC. These table toppers or game toppers are amazing to play on. Like you didn't realize how much you need this until you have one. And they're so much fun because the way it transforms your table. Then they've got kind of cup holders there. They even have a really cool thing that you can put on the side, and it's a dice tower that kind of attaches to the table, and it'll roll the dice into the table on
Is
there.
I got a 3D printed one. Who was that from? Was it Omni? No, Stage Top. Is that the one you're? That's not the one you're talking about, though, right?
No. This is Game Towers. But I don't know who. I don't know if they outsource kind of the way that I don't know if they make them themselves or if they outsource kind of the dice tower things that hit, you know, they kind of click onto or they just kind of attach there. But
I mean, it's a whole table, a whole 3D printed tabletop thing from Stage.
Oh, no.
Not
just
this dice tower.
No, these game toppers are amazing. They're heavy.
They are.
Like the box that came to my house was like 150 pounds.
Jeez.
When you put it together, it's not that hard. I mean, like each side is a little bit heavy, but they go on just like a nice folding table, or you can actually get legs for them as well. That there's kits they sell that have legs and then a little support in the middle. But and then they have amazing playmats. So if you're just a playmat person, if you already have a really nice big table, they have some great playmats with some amazing artists that they just put out too. Because they've got artists like Vincent Dutrait and Ryan Lockett. These are great artists that I think Quan Chai Moria even has a game mat with a playmat with them. So this is just, these things are just awesome. I mean, I keep it set up in my room, but they even have things that when you take it apart, they even have kind of, you can put them into kind of like a bag and kind of store it. So like a protective bag, storage bag that you can put in there too. But they're just amazing. And they've got the newest thing that they've got on this Kickstarter that I thought was really cool. And Scott, you'd love this, having the grandkids. There's these little like mini, I think they're called Young Sherlocks, where they basically are just these little table toppers, little game toppers that you put on like either a coffee table, or if you get the legs, they're basically their own coffee table. And the kids can just play games or play with Legos or blocks and or puzzles and stuff like that.
Oh, that sounds right awesome. There. We do that stuff all the time. I would love to have one of those. Let's see.
What's great is if you're playing a marathon game of Risk, you can just lift that table topper off of your dining table, have dinner.
Yep. Yeah.
Put that away for a little while. Then when you're ready to keep playing, you just bring the table topper out.
Well, and stuff like that is what's also cool is they have inserts that you can be playing. I guess they're called onserts, but they're basically called inserts. But you can actually put a table on top of your game topper.
Right.
Already recessed. So yeah. You can actually put something on top of there, eat dinner.
And yeah, Spagnola, Mark Spagnola had one of those that he made, and it's just it was just the coolest damn thing. I, you know, when they moved back out east, I was like, you should leave that table.
Just leave it here, buddy. Yeah,
I'll find a good home for it.
Bring with you,
dude. I'll bet there's all kinds of stuff from
fit that on the. Yeah.
I'll bet he's got like a whole warehouse full of stuff that would have been rad to leave.
Oh, for sure. He already helped me build the covercade, the arcade cabinet that's all wood with the retrocade in there. I couldn't ask him to do anything else for me.
That thing is really cool. Nice. Well, go check these out.
You can actually see my unboxing video on that Kickstarter page too. My the unboxing that I did on it.
Oh, cool.
And you can see how big the table is with another game set.
What's your YouTube channel? Is that where this is at?
Yeah, it's just me. It's just Dampatrice. Just under
Dampatrice.
My name.
I'm gonna.
Boy, you are the worst salesman ever. I can't. I know, believe I really I'm am. Giving. I'm not even gonna give you the good leads. I'm gonna give you the mediocre leads.
That's
because
right.
To give you the good leads would be wasting them.
So
I'm not getting a Glengarry lead.
So yeah, I'll give it to you. It is Dan at Dan Patrice on YouTube. The way YouTube does their new at thing. So it's youtube.com/@DanPatrice. All right, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I do. I put up a lot of. So I put up some of DJ's videos there. So I mean, the reason why I keep it as my name is because. Some of his kind of recruiting videos and stuff like that. I'll put some highlights of him on there, but I also have other playlists that are basically playthroughs or unboxings or overviews as well.
Yeah. And here you are doing Fall of Lumen. Watching you do it.
That's also on Kickstarter now.
Is it?
If you want to check out Fall of Lumen, that's actually a lot of fun. If you like Lost Ruins of Arnak, and this is kind of a fantasy themed, it has a lot of the same kind of mechanics where you're doing some card play and you're either getting resources from a card or getting an action from a card. It's a lot of fun. And if you like fantasy type themes, and you really like, cause Lost Ruins of Arnak was one of the best games of the last few years. So using that kind of mechanism in there, is very, very
boy,
cool.
The art on the box is beautiful art. Holy crap. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Super.
And that brings up another thing we should talk about another day, Scott, cause especially I'd love to get your take on, it's kind of AI art, but the designers of the game are artists, so they kind of, a lot of the art is their art, but the AI helped them to finish.
There's a lot going on right now with that. Like some people, here's a use case that some people are using that I know. They'll do foreground character. Normally you would have to have a complete composition of here's the character I've created, and now I've got to put in all the elements in the background and have he's in an old tavern or it's the background is an old city or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And what they're doing instead is they finish their character art and then they tell AI, fill in the background with what I now am going to describe to you. And it saves them hours and hours and hours and hours of work.
That's a good compromise, I think.
Yeah, it's not bad from a workflow perspective, because I could see why a vastly underpaid artist would want to use this tool to hurry up and get a project done. And I think there's some value in it. It's controversial, of course.
Mm-hmm, of course.
But I wouldn't mind seeing they're probably doing something similar here is my guess, is they're creating characters, they're creating scenario art, and then they're saying, well, let's just fill in some of the gaps and some of the stuff that takes us an extra 3 weeks of production we can do in 5 minutes, and technically I'm still the artist and I'm also the prompter. I don't know.
Right. They're not feeding Scott Johnson's art into an AI generator and then generating 50 card images from that. There's a big difference. I think that's what a lot of that's where a lot of things work, because you're not getting any sort of credit or any sort of money for this when somebody does something like that.
Right. And they do it with their own art. It's like, okay, they're going to make a background based on the art. That's the other thing, is it's using your art as a baseline so that it's consistent. There's that to me is much closer to just a useful tool for an artist and not a cheap shortcut or a tracing mechanism or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of gray area right now with all this stuff. But as it continues to suss out, I think this is one area we'll see it happen more and more. I could see comic book artists, for example, who are on a really tight deadline. And they've got approval from DC or Marvel to say, look, I've drawn Spider-Man having his fight, but I do not have time to make New York. Let the computer make New York in the style of my art. And I could see why that might be a thing that's more and more common. So anyway, fascinating stuff. Dan, as always, the pleasure of having you here is palpable. We can all feel it.
Oh, I love you.
You feel it more though, because you got a weird sensitive. You got a weird sensitive left arm, and so you're going to feel it a bit more than us. But
yeah,
it hurts.
I hope you feel better though, dude.
I feel better, dude. Oh man,
yeah. I appreciate it. You mind if I just give out the? If anybody wants to check out the charity, www.gamersforcures.com. Check that out. 11/11 is our event. There will be a link to where you can actually buy raffle tickets for the charity wall. But I also have a link if you just want to donate. We're a 501c3. We're fully tax deductible. We're legit. So you can print out, if you go to the link to donate, you can print out a tax receipt for your taxes. Sorry, guys. Just wanted to pimp out.
Give me the, what's the URL one more time? I'm going to put it in our notes.
It's our gamersforcures.com.
Gamersforcures.com. I'm going to put the three W's in there because I just want to pretend like it's 1994. I'm going to do it. Dan, as always, the pleasure is ours and hopefully yours. Have a fantastic rest of your month and we'll see you soon. Happy Halloween.
See you guys.
Bye now. All right. We did it.
Nice. I'm going to take my Be Real right now. It's time to be real, everybody.
Is
Let's all be
to
real,
real
together. My notification has probably been hours already and I barely done it today or yesterday, this week. Hold on. Let's see.
When does mine happen?
It should be now.
Oh, yeah, Be Real. Yeah, it's time. 2 minutes left to capture my Be Real. I better do it.
Better hurry. Better hurry.
I better do it. I'll do this picture of Brian and me and our little twitchy hoo-ha. And then I'll go. Yeah. And then I'll... Ooh, I look like a crazy old person. There, I sent it. We're done.
You are a crazy old person.
All done. All right. A quick thing
Bobby's
before we
Minecraft. Tom is image searching. Wow, that's great.
Oh, yeah, Tom out there getting his porn on, you know.
That's right. Exactly.
All right. Here is a thing I wanted to mention. We got an email. This is a little while ago, and I meant to talk about it by now, and I haven't. So I'm not going to do it. It's an email about Call Sheet. It's this new app that's an alternative to IMDb. I haven't used this.
I haven't either, but it's pretty darn cool.
I think it's iOS only, or is it a website also?
Oh, is it? I downloaded the iOS version to check it out, and it's, yeah, I like it.
Let's see. Downloadable. Yeah, Call Sheet is, I don't think they've got a, like, a web version, which is a little bit of a bummer, because that would be nice. But it is an app, and it's free. This is what they said. Say, hey, salsa and blue corn. That sounds good. Blue corn chips?
Yeah, I know. I'm all over both of those things.
Yeah, that sounds great. It says, after listening to you guys try to figure out what films Michelle Williams starred in, I thought I should check out the iOS app, or I thought you should check out the iOS app Call Sheet. It's made by a fellow podcaster, and it's super handy. Love the hobo, Russell from Chicago. Just a nice alternative, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's clean interface.
Yeah, not full of ads and stuff. Really,
yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Check it out, everybody. I don't know if it's on Android. I have no idea.
Call Sheet, all one word, Call Sheet.
Dan's charity. I got to write that down. All right. Yeah. That's going to do it for today's show. Big thanks, everybody, for joining us, for supporting us. Our patrons are amazing. Go on over there and do it today. If you haven't, patreon.com/TMS. Never been a better time than now. And if not you, then who? And if not when, then now. Wait, if not now, then when? All right? Get in there. Patreon.com/TMS. That is going to do it for today's show. Brian, you have anything going on today you want to mention? Any?
Did the Millennium Falcon build yesterday, live streamed it. You'll find it on youtube.com/coverville. Working on the whole tube that goes into the cockpit, too, of the Millennium Falcon. That whole area, really cool stuff. And right now, the stuff they've given me, I could actually put the cockpit up on the camera with the camera facing out, and it'll look like the Millennium Falcon is flying into my head.
It's that's cool. I like that.
Check that out there. I'm probably I don't know if I'll do anything today, but keep an eye on the channel for painting and stuff like that. I got a Bruce Willis, got a John McClane model I've got to paint. So maybe I'll do a little bit of that today.
Ooh, John McClane. Is he inside the vent or is it something else?
Nope. It's him standing up. It's almost like him at the very end, without the taped gun on his back, but everything else is there. He's basically standing there with two guns, and he's ready to go find Hans Gruber.
Ooh, good.
Barefoot, bloody feet because of the glass. And
I think you showed me this.
The glass.
I think you showed me the model before, now that I think about it. Yeah, yep. That thing's awesome.
It's great.
I hear he's not doing great, though, these days.
I know. Poor guy.
Really bums me out. Like he's
it
not.
Makes me sad when I watch him on Moonlighting and say, man, I hate what's happening to him right now.
Yeah. Not even verbal anymore, I don't think. Like, he's not
talking. Oh, really?
Yeah. That sucks. That shouldn't be Bruce Willis, who's not verbal. He should be verbal. You know what I mean? He has things to say, and he should always say them. All right, that's going to do it for us. We're out of here. Play a song. Let's go. What do we got? Some kind of cover.
Okay. How about this one going out to Jay? Greetings, Stomp and Brighton. To commemorate my 41st trip around our star, the universe will stage an annual solar eclipse. This goes back to a couple weekends ago. I can think of no more appropriate song for this pair of events than Black Hole Sun. I'm a big fan of Chris Cornell's version, his acoustic cover, but leave the selection to the Covermeister. I'm fond of the program anyhow. Signed, Jay.
I like that a lot. Fond of the program anyhow is close to...
fond of the program anyhow.
Yeah, pretty close to the real thing, but far enough away that we enjoy it. Thank you so much.
Exactly. Going back, this is one I'm surprised I haven't played on the show before because it's from my favorite cover album of 2013, an album called Mockingbird by a singer named Kendra Morris. If you have not checked out Kendra Morris, she's got an incredible soul voice. Just amazing. And she does this great version right here of Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun. Here is Kendra Morris.
All right. One fast thing before we go. I almost forgot.
Yes.
You didn't tell me this guy was in Click, Click, Boom. Click, Click, Boom. Wait, Tick, Tick, Boom. I keep saying click. You didn't tell me. And so here's this clip.
All right. I'll start. I'm lost. I don't know what the show is. Is it social commentary? Is it science fiction? And the music, is it the same thing? Is it rock? Is it Broadway? Is it both? Is it neither? Steve, what did you think?
Richard Kind in this movie is a buried headline. I love him.
The guy who spit on you.
Yeah, yes. The guy who spit on me in high school when I was in Chicago. Oh, my gosh. I love him, though. I love him.
Yeah, he is great.
All right. Well, that's all I had to say about that. Here's your song. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come?
feet till you all just disappear. Black hole sun, won't you come? Won't you wash away?
Get more at frogpants.com.
I am the moon!
Oh, I missed.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.